Today on ID the Future, we're happy to bring you another interview with Dr. Tom Woodward, host of the Universe Next Door syndicated radio broadcast. In conjunction with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, Dr. Woodward regularly interviews CSC scientists and scholars on various aspects of the debate over Darwinian evolution and intelligent design.
Welcome to the Universe Next Door. Today, our focus is going to be on molecular motors that have been discovered as they stroll down the highways and byways, the microtubule, incredible interstate system of your cell, Bill Carl, and mine, and virtually every living thing on the planet. Isn't that incredible?
It really is. And before the program, we were spending a little time on YouTube, and I know we'll get back to what we saw there, but what we will experience there is really, I think when you see this, it is the visual embodiment of the intelligent design argument just laid right out there. Look at this. It can't happen by accident.
And I've had so many people since they saw this brand new high tech just released video say, wow, or something like that. There is a design there like they've never seen before. And of course, we're talking about this wondrous workhorse, and that is really the name that's been given to it by the Discovery Institute. We're so appreciative of the hard work that has been done by the whole team, including John West of the Discovery Institute, who orchestrated this whole educational video, and Jed McCosko, the biochemist, who is an expert. He really is one of the researchers who has done pioneering work on the kinesin and its biochemistry, all of its functions. And he was the chief advisor for this project. And of course, we really should recognize the skill, the incredible computer animation skills of Joseph Condylis and his Light Productions group, which we have been able to experience ourselves in the production of our own video on the website apologetics.org, which introduces our own mysterious epigenome. That's the same gentleman that did this video there on YouTube. We're going to be going to the audio track of that and actually kind of let you hear it in two sections in just a minute. Well, today, again, we're focusing on the wonders of cellular nanotechnology. I was, Bill, reading recently about the new insights, the discoveries that have been made on the system that separates chromosomes. And the description that was used by secular scientific discoverers, the people who were writing this up in a journal, that it was not in any way slanted toward intelligent design, used the words staggering complexity. And I even put that as the title of this little handout that I produced for my class. And I'm thinking that is what we continue to see over and over inside the cell. It reminds me of that 1950s film, The Forbidden Planet, where they arrive and find Walter Pidgeon there, you know, with his daughter. And of course, Leslie Nielsen and his crew arrive on the the little American flying saucer, and they're told, don't land. And they finally land. And of course, the invisible creature comes out, and it's a projection of the id. So, but in The Forbidden Planet, Walter Pidgeon finally reluctantly takes two of the leading crew members, the captain, Leslie Nielsen, I think it is, and one of the other fellows, and he takes them in a tour of the interior of the planet, which is a self-sustaining, self-regulating, self-running wonder of technology. But the Krell civilization that built it is no longer there, and they have vanished. But the civilization maintains itself. And I think of that scene in the movie where they're walking across these huge skyway bridges inside the planet, whenever I think of a cell. The cell is a little bit like the Krell civilization, except we know who built it. It wasn't the Krell, it was the creator god of the universe. Right. And so we have an opportunity to show you or let you hear, and you can go to your local computer at your earliest convenience and see this marvel of technology that has been put together for your eyes to feast on. Discovery Institute has just released it, and it's called The Workhorse of the Cell, the Kinesin. We're going to go ahead and listen to part one of it, and I'll make a few comments, and we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and tell the rest of the story. So, Bill, let's roll that part one of this amazing audio of the kinesin robotic worker that is carrying loads up and down the highways of your cell right now.
Cells are full of specialized components that perform functions vital to their existence. But how do these components get to the right locations inside the cell to perform their functions? For larger components, a transportation system is needed. meet the Kinesin. Masterpieces of microengineering, Kinesins are miniature motorized machines that carry cargo from one part of the cell to another, walking along self-assembling highways called microtubules. Known as the workhorses of the cell, Kinesins have 2 feet, or globular heads, that literally walk 1 foot over another along the microtubule, pulling their cargo to its destination. Each foot possesses 2 special locations, called binding sites, that interact with other molecules. One site attaches to the microtubule, and the other binds with ATP, the energy molecule of the cell. When 1 foot binds with ATP and uses its energy, the foot flips over, resulting in the walking motion. Each foot has a short neck, which is connected to a strand of a long coiled stalk. At the end of the stalk is a fan-shaped tail, which holds tightly to the cargo being transported.
And that is just the first part of this amazing video. We'll be coming back to hear part two in just a few minutes. I wanted to mention that this is produced by the Discovery Institute and is brilliantly rendered in 3D CGI technology by Joseph Condylis of Late Productions. And he is a genius. I think that you feasted, Bill, in your own way on the beauty and the details of that gigantic cargo. It was like just a spindly little thin man pulling an 18-wheeler.
Yeah. That's such a great way of articulating that. By the way, the Discovery Institute has an outstanding YouTube channel. And if you just go to YouTube and pop in Discovery Institute channel, you can pull that up. And not only can you see the story of the Kinesin, but their other videos there are just outstanding.
And the Magician's Twin has 3 outstanding videos that relate the work of C.S. Lewis to his critique of Darwin's theory and his affirmation of intelligent design. I'll go ahead and mention that all in that same Discovery Institute YouTube channel. Now, what would Richard Dawkins say if he was standing at my shoulder watching this? Well, I can tell you, he says right here, at least he doesn't mention the Kinesin by name, but on page 157 of his book, The God Delusion, where he says in the title, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, why there almost certainly is no God. I thought it was funny that way he puts a little
kind of hedging his bet
qualifier there. He says, as he's talking about this, the brilliant design around us, one of the great challenges of the human intellect over the centuries has been to explain the complex and probable appearance of design in the universe and how it arises. The natural temptation is to attribute the appearance of design to actual design itself. And he talks about when you see a watch, you're tempted to look for a watchmaker. And he says, well, the answer to that is that the designer hypothesis immediately raises a larger problem of who designed the designer. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you ponder that question, which I don't think is a very good question. And it's not a really robust defense of atheism. But I think Richard Dawkins puts up a fairly weak smokescreen at this point, and I'd like to come back and pierce that smokescreen with my own laser beam of at least understanding, analysis, and hopefully critique. We'll be right back on The Universe Next Door. Welcome back to The Universe Next Door. Today we are featuring the newly released, as of just this past week, fantastic breakthrough YouTube video. It's free of charge. You don't have to go to the movie theater and pay $6 or $8 or $12 to see this little genius at work, this little Kinesin robotic worker. You know, as I have been since 2007 traveling with my own Kinesin video clip shown, he is the hero of almost every one of my lectures. Mm-hmm. And the version I have is fairly crude, although I thought he was wonderful. Now that I've seen this guy, this guy will push the other.
We have to get with our friends at Discovery Institute and say, come on now, let us use that.
Yeah, I need a little permission get granted here. So we were talking about this spindly 2 strands woven together very carefully. And at the lower ends of the double strand, you see the protein strings come together, something like a golf club. I think like the head of a 2-wood or a 4-wood.
Yeah, it really does. That's a great way of looking at it. Yeah. And it's kind of funny because it's almost like a spaghetti man.
Exactly.
Towing a gigantic sack. I mean, it's really something to see.
It's like a blimp. Yeah, a sack as big as a, like a Goodyear blimp. Mm-hmm. And he's just floating along, but he's huge. And he's kind of like scuttling along the highway. Mm-hmm. And the highway itself is a large tube. And he's carefully, with kind of like a magnetic feet, going with mincing steps, one step at a time. And what we were trying to say is that Richard Dawkins, his own approach to this whole area is, Darwin has it figured out 150 years ago. Well, I dissent. I disagree. I think that Darwin's theory of natural selection, while it does hold on a microevolutionary level, which is really trivial, that doesn't really make any difference to anyone. Surely animals can have glitches occur in their genetic material, which cause, for example, flighted birds to lose the ability to fly and therefore give rise to flightless birds. For example, the kiwi. For example, a number of other ground-dwelling birds who just flutter and can just jump up a few feet but cannot take to the air. And so we have all ranges, all kinds of examples in nature. We could give examples, for example, of animals that live in cave environments and have lost the ability to see. I mean, they may have eyeballs or something, but they're no longer functional. And so the power of natural selection to create new genetic material has been overwhelmingly discredited in recent years. That's my favorite question to ask a true blue Darwinist. I don't care how famous he is, how many PhDs behind his name. I love to ask, give me one good example where random mutations filtered by natural selection has produced one new gene and has been observed to do so under laboratory conditions. There is no such evidence ever once that has been provided by any biologist in the history of the theory. And so when Dawkins invokes natural selection as his creator's substitute, that is so incredibly hollow at such a late stage in the consideration of modern biology. So what is his argument against design? Well, point three in page 158 of The God Delusion is fairly a lame attempt to defeat the God hypothesis. He says the temptation to invoke God is a false one because the designer hypothesis raises the larger problem of who designed the designer. He says the whole problem we started out with was the problem of explaining statistical improbability. And I'll just stop right there. If you say that God needs an explanation for him, then you're assuming that anything that exists itself needs an explanation behind it. So then what is the cause of the universe? You see, if Dawkins says the universe is eternally existing, he has the same problem. He cannot supply an explanation for it. What the sauce that is good for the goose is good for the gander. And so God, by definition, is a being who is self-existent. So to say you cannot explain the source of God is like the question, who is the source of your unsourced being? Who is the cause of your uncaused creator? To ask the question is to answer it. It is incoherent. It is internally nonsensical. And so I would say that the best evidence, again, from nanotechnology within the cell, and we can give many other examples of this kind of high-tech multi-part system, and the kinesin is just one of the motor proteins. We have myosins that are mentioned by Michael Denton in his comment on the kinesin. Myosin motor proteins are involved in motor contraction within muscle cells. And we could spend time talking about the huge titin muscle protein. Bill, you know proteins have amino acids that are involved in shaping them. What would you say is a good size amino acid chain? 100 amino acids? That's a pretty small one. Get up to 1,000, that's a little bit bigger, right? So what would you think is a big one? Couple thousand?
Couple thousand.
Yeah, okay.
10,000.
Okay. How about the titin protein in your muscle cells? 33,000 amino acids strung along end to end. Now, I have a demo protein model that I use when I go to conferences. It has about 100 amino acids. So at that level, when you're talking about 33,000, you're talking about taking one of those chains and then 330 of those chains. You could go all the way across Tampa and then up to the Courtney Campbell Causeway, and then over to Clearwater, practically.
Wow.
So, well, let's go ahead and hear the rest of this incredible audio, the portion at least, of this video clip that has been released by the Discovery Institute. As we hear what this robotic nano machine, this worker machine, has to do when he encounters a little bit of a tight squeeze during one of his strolls down the highway. Let's see what happens.
Sometimes a kinesin is in danger of getting stuck on the microtubule highway because of blockages caused by other cellular components. To get around such obstacles, multiple motor proteins may be used to carry a single piece of cargo, together providing enough force to break free. Kinesins typically walk away from the center of the cell and toward the cell's periphery. The kinesin's 2 feet work together efficiently, with 1 foot holding fast to the microtubule, while the other releases itself and takes a step forward. This coordinated stepwise movement allows kinesin motors to walk as many as 100 steps per second, moving about 8 nanometers with each step. When not carrying cargo, kinesins can shift to energy-saving mode to conserve fuel until their next job. The kinesin plays a vital role in many cellular processes, not just transporting materials, but also aiding cell replication. The Walking Kinesin Molecular Machine, another example of intelligent design.
Well, that is an amazing achievement.
Well, and I think just for attribution's sake, that is from the Discovery Institute, and they do have a channel on YouTube, and you can see not only the YouTube video of the kinesin, but a number of other materials there as well.
Yes. And so what we're saying is that there is an onslaught from the world of biochemistry itself on the idea that the cell is just something that came together by chance, by pure dumb luck. Well, enjoy that video and show it to your family and friends, pass it around, you know, email the link to all of those that you know that really are into studying the works of our great creator. See you back next week on The Universe Next Door.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.